Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. We are back at it again, back at the boot camp. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Coming back for this one, we've got Triple B himself, the beautiful Bob Bickford, coming back to talk about the Battle of the Boot on the Replant Boot Camp.
Hey, Jimbo, it was not a battle in any shape or form. And the battle for me was to stay awake while Arkansas was getting beat like they stole something from LSU. It was a shameful experience. And you were actually there in the stadium.
I was there at the game, in the nosebleeds. My sister, who's a diehard Arkansas Razorback fan, maybe Arkansas Razorback's number one fan, and she got us tickets to go because I was coming up already for the Arkansas Baptist annual meeting. And so we went up and in the nosebleeds. And then I kept telling her, as we were planning to get there for the day, she was giving me a hard time about how she got them in the heart of Arkansas Razorback fan territory. And I said, good, that's fine. I just need one LSU fan that I can high five when we make a good play. That's it. Just one.
Well, you would have had a lot of high fives going on.
Well, Bob, we got there, and sure enough, 15 people huddled in front of me are all LSU fans. So we had a squad. And as the evening went and the drinks were flowing for many, not myself.
Yes, because you have signed the NAM covenant.
The obnoxious level of the LSU fans continued to increase to the point that I thought, I'm going to end up getting jumped, even though I have nothing to do with the obnoxiousness that's happening right now. But I was surprised because I think out of the last 10 years, 9 of the last 10 LSU-Arkansas games have been settled by 3 points.
Yeah, and I guess if we were really officially doing the bet, which I guess it probably still stands at some point.
Of course.
The next time I think I'm going to see you will be at the AMS Replant Practitioner Lab in February. Yeah. You know, before it's just been like a hat or a pajama shirt or something like that. Since you guys drubbed us so much, it might have to be like the tiger costume, Jimbo. Might be.
Well, I got some new shoes that.
Well, I know you, I saw that. Like it's like old Magic Johnson. I had some Converse that looked like that. Not a more horrific color would be put on shoes, but I saw those shoes on the Facebook. Or the face box, for those of you who are longtime boot camp listeners.
Yes, the face box.
Man, it was a shameful game, Jimbo. I was ashamed that I'm from Arkansas, but Arkansas is a beautiful place.
I will say I get to travel this great country a lot, and Northwest Arkansas is up there as one of the most beautiful little corners of this country.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, the drive from Little Rock to Northwest Arkansas is just incredible.
Yeah. The Boston Mountains are the mountain range that you go over. And the new road, I think it's, I can't remember, it's 49 or 59 or something. But there used to be an old road called Old 71 that was dangerous twists and turns. And that's even more gorgeous because when the fall leaves hit and you're in the sports car, it's just a blast.
Well, it hasn't been a very good weekend for you football-wise at all, has it?
Well, the Chiefs won tonight. So as a former Kansas City resident, I'll celebrate the Chiefs. But the Arkansas Razorbacks went down in flames. And I guess, was there another team? Did Dallas have a bye this week or something? Or what did I miss? Did I miss?
Well, I'm assuming just because Dallas generally has been pretty miserable this year.
I think that's why Kyle Bierman canceled the podcast with Matt Hensley, because Dallas is so bad. I think they decided I will go on the record. I posted this on social media. The Cowboys will not have another winning season until Jerry Jones is not in any form influencing the decisions there in Cowboy land. Yeah. I go on record to state that.
Yeah, he's got to fire himself as general manager. He just can't.
They need to replant.
Yeah, they need a replant. Yeah. Will you be the general manager?
Jimbo, I don't know enough about football. I played football through the 8th grade, but after that I quit because I didn't like to be hit. So you know, I was in it. I was in it just, you know, while it was fun, but then it started hurting and I didn't like it.
Yeah. My mom wouldn't let me play football because she was scared I would get hurt. Yeah,
you would deliver some pain. You were a man of size back then. And
so I played soccer, but I played it like I was a linebacker.
Of course you did.
My goal was to see if I could take the star player out of the game.
Wow. Did you get any red cards?
Yes. I got kicked out of a league.
Oh, a whole league, not just a game.
A whole league. Yeah, it was a whole league, and I was told I was never allowed ever
again. Wow, you must have been kicking people pretty hard then.
Well, I had a coach that would tell me to take out the players, and there's this one player that wouldn't go down, and so the coach was like, I don't care what you got to do, take him out. So, so I literally just threw him over my shoulder, and he ended up breaking his arm, I was out, ejected from the whole league. I was banned. It was over.
Wow, that's amazing. This was pre-Jesus Jimbo, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. My nickname was the Hitman.
Of course it was.
Oh yeah. So when Audrey and I first started dating, I told her that story, and she knew that she had picked up on that I liked Wendy's. Really what I liked was the $1 junior bacon cheeseburger, because I was a poor college student. So I would go to Wendy's a lot and just get a junior bacon cheeseburger for a dollar, which you can't even do that anymore. But so she, one of the first gifts she ever gave me, she screen printed a Wendy's logo on a shirt and then put Hitman on the back of the shirt.
That's awesome. That took some doing back in the day, because you couldn't just go online and order up a shirt online. No. You had to do some work there.
You should have got a screen print paper and iron it on and iron on the letters and all of that.
So that was true love. That was a sign right there.
That was it, man. And it's all history after that.
Good history. Nothing but good history.
Good history. Speaking of good history, man, talk to us about what's going on in the world of Bob Bickford, and what is the Lord teaching you, showing you as you're in this new season of life? And man, drop some wisdom.
Well, let me tell some stories and maybe there's some wisdom in there.
All right. We'll mine something.
Yeah. We'll mine something. You know, Jimbo, I think, so I'm past my 100 days here as the executive director of the Nashville Baptist Association.
Just had your annual meeting.
Yeah. Just had Jeff Orge did a great job. Frank Lewis, our good friend, was there. Just a phenomenal gathering. We had over 100 folks, and it was good energy, and guys were hanging out, talking and laughing and praying together afterwards. I mean, couldn't ask for any better moment than that. And so I felt really good about that. That was really one of the first big things that I was focusing on in a public way. And so now we're off to the implementation of some foundational things. But I think through all that, Jimbo, one of the things that I've had opportunity to do is to preach in churches recently. And I've been working out of Luke 9 and talking about following Jesus and, you know, just thinking through what does it mean to follow Jesus and what does it mean to pursue him? And as I think about pastors and encouraging them, one of the things I would want to say is that as you're following Jesus, you're never out of his care or concern. And then you're also never operating out of the sovereignty of God in moving in your life. God does all kinds of things in terms of working in, around, and through you, and places you in an assignment, a ministry assignment, for a season, for a time, and that's not an accident. And so some of our guys, I know, they might find themselves in a really tough spot, and then people, why am I here? And even on social media this week, I was, you know, dialing into some of the pastor sites that I'm part of, and I was seeing guys try to support a brother who, you know, faced a forced termination, and, you know, he's dealing with a lot of pain and a lot of struggle and all those sorts of things. But I think one of the things that has borne out true for me, Jimbo, is I moved to Nashville and I didn't think I would be doing the role that I'm doing now, but over the past couple of weeks and really over this 100-day period, I've seen God move and confirm that I moved to Nashville thinking I was doing one thing, but he ended up moving me to do something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's often how God seems to work in our lives. Is I feel like he never gives me the destination. That's the real, like, I feel like he hints at me, we're headed this direction. And so I head that direction. And then at some point he's like, all right, now take this exit. Mm-hmm. that. And I'm like, this exit, well, why would I take this exit? Mm-hmm. And then I get off and it's what the Lord's got. And I realize, man, probably if that's what he would have told me we were headed towards, I wouldn't have is to go. And so he just shows us kind of one step at a time and following him. And I think that's an incredible encouragement because so many guys do find themselves in hard seasons where they're not sure they're in the right spot. Mm-hmm. And just leaning on, hey, what is the Lord telling me to do right now mm-hmm. in this? What does the Lord have for me in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to dial in on that a little bit and say, it might not be something significant, right?
Yeah.
And there have been a couple instances, one that I'll share that was one of those insignificant times recently. So it was a Sunday afternoon, and on the weekend, my practice has been like to go to our home church and start worship there. And if I can stay through the whole service, I'll do that. But oftentimes I'll bug out early and go to another church to catch a service in another church, just to connect with the pastor, see what's going on in another church. So this is one of those Sundays where I started at my church and then I left and went to another church, new pastor there. He's been there about a year. And it was the launch of his vision series. And it was amazing. And I'd wanted to go visit the church earlier, but for whatever reason was not able to. But it just so happened that this was the launch Sunday, the first message of the launch of their new vision. And so I was super excited because I didn't realize that the timing worked out. So I roll in there and got to see him and encourage him. And it's a renewal situation. And so I met him and his wife and his kids. And I just said, man, bro, I am behind you 1,000%. I'm so excited. And he was surprised that I was there. But man, I wanted to be there with him. Came home, had lunch. Barb takes a nap. And I'm outside washing the convertible. It's a beautiful day here in Nashville. And so I was like, you know what? Let's go out to see this church out by the lakes. And it's a church that I'm going to be doing a consultation with. And I had a hard time connecting with the leaders of the church. And so we go out and visit. It's a church that's in need of some help for its future. And so we're looking at the property. And then we back down the driveway. And we round the corner to go on the west side of the property. And there's a parsonage there. And Jimbo, we just round the corner, hundreds of yards away from the parsonage. And there are two youth on the back deck of the parsonage that are lighting that sucker on fire. I mean, it is like flames. And then they get the fire extinguisher out and they're shooting it off in the air. I mean, it's Jimbo. I don't think that was a planned youth event unless I've been out of youth ministry so long that I don't know what's going on, but there were only two of those guys there. And so I talked with my church contact on Friday, the Friday before. And so prior to that, I called 911. I said, hey, I think we need some officers out here. And Barb was obviously concerned. Are you going to stick around or what are you going to do? I'm like, well, we can't let them burn this parsonage down. I called the church contact. The youth, meanwhile, see me sitting in the convertible watching them, and I'm on the phone. And so they start walking down towards me. They did not go to the Jimbo Stewart School of Miscreant Behavior.
They didn't know how to get away when the getting away was good.
No, they stuck around. I'm like, what kind of juvenile delinquents are you? You guys are not like the primo version.
So they're coming at you.
They were coming at me. And so I was like, hey, guys, you're not supposed to be here, because I knew the parsonage was vacant, you know, because they were in transition with the pastor. And I said, I just called the cops and they're coming. And I called some of the church officials and they're coming. And it was just this crazy event. And what it led to was an opportunity to have serious conversations with the church about their future, right? What it also led to is protection of the property. Now, Jimbo, I made some small decisions. I wasn't reading through Leviticus or, you know, I'm reading the Minor Prophets or even the Book of Revelation, and the Lord didn't say to me, go to this particular church, right? I'm just like,
yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to go out and check that church out. I think because I'm going to be doing some work out here. And Jimbo, I think through this process and then through one other process of speaking in California, speaking at the Great Commission Association, our good friend Chris Cole was out there. I was assigned to preach at a church on Sunday, preached at that church, and I just had a great time talking about following Jesus in Luke 9. The guy comes up to me afterwards and says, hey, I've been thinking about selling my house in Washington and moving to Hawaii. And there's a particular island that I'm interested in moving to called Molokai. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like 2 years ago, I preached at the Baptist church on Molokai and I have the pastor's contact information in my phone.
Yeah.
And so I shared that with him, and we had, you know, it was one of those cool moments, right? That, those two episodes, Jimbo, as I'm thinking about what God's doing in my life, I'm like, you know what? There are no coincidences. There are no random happenings. We moved from St. Louis to Nashville, and I came to do one role, and that opportunity closed. Another presented itself. And when I look at these two instances, I'm like, who would have thought in the course of time that I would have left St. Louis, took one job in Nashville, been moved to another job, and then have the two instances like these where there's been kingdom implications in some form or fashion. Yeah. And these are small decisions, right, that lead to incredible opportunities and to see God's hand work and move. And so when I think about this, it takes me back to Scripture. And when Paul is preaching in Athens in Acts 17, one of the things that he talks about is the fact that God determines where we live, when we live there, for a particular reason, that we might seek him and find him, right? So it says in verse 26 of Acts 17, from one man he's made every nationality to live all over the whole earth, and he has determined their appointed times and boundaries of where they live. And he did this so that they might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him. Well, he's not far from each one of us. And I'm just like, you know what? These have been good providences of God in my life that have caused me to go, you know what? All those seasons of really kind of wondering, you know, from February to May, what is the Lord going to do with us here in Nashville? In those seasons of having a firm confidence in the work of God, not knowing what that work would be and how it would work itself out, all the things he would do. As I look back on that time, and as I look at these opportunities and these instances where God's made those connections, I'm just super thankful. And I think what I would say to the pastors that are listening to this, you may not know what God's up to, but be faithful, hang in there, seek him, and he'll make it quick.
Yeah, I think we often miss the miraculousness of the mundane.
Ooh, I love that.
Because we're looking for the big things. And I think a couple of things with that. One, I think we forget that it's pretty rare that God does things in one big push. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to be like just an aggregation of moments, mm-hmm. an aggregation of mundane moments where just these little moments of faithfulness, little decisions of faithfulness, little movements of faithfulness. And maybe one thing small happens. And over time, they just, you know, with compound interest, it's when we can look back that we see like, oh gosh, man, God was doing this, and he was doing this, and he was doing this, and all of that's led to this. And we don't always even get to see it when mm-hmm. we look back. I pulled up, I was thinking about that because I remember a quote that I love about this. Paul Tripp says, if God doesn't rule your mundane, then he doesn't rule you. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you live. Mm-hmm. We live in the mundane. We live in the seemingly, you know, non-significant moments every day. And I think even in our quiet times, that's a really important mm-hmm. thing, right? Like, don't wait for some Shekinah glory burning bush moment every single morning when you dive into the Word, but see what the Lord has to say in the midst of the mundane.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think, Jimbo, we probably need to make a bigger deal out of these things and celebrate them when they occur. You know, as we're sitting here talking, the thing in my mind is I think back to like the youth camp speakers and the traveling preachers and all those guys who would share some kind of story with the congregation when they rolled into town. And it always seemed to be something like they take this one little thing and then they explode it in terms of just like emphasizing it and the goodness of God within it. Right. And it's, you know, a divine meeting, a divine connection, all those sorts of things. And I think we give God credit for things that we shouldn't give him credit for. We take credit for things that we should give him credit for. Right. Yes. And I think it's been my joy to go and experience these moments here recently and just to go, man, there's no way that I could have ever thought about orchestrating anything like this ever. Right.
Yeah.
I would never have thought, you know, that 2 years ago, me preaching at a church in Hawaii on an island that nobody ever goes to hardly or hears about or knows about, I show up in a little bitty coastal town in California, and this guy is praying about moving there. Like, that's not a chance random happening.
I think part of the reason we're not paying attention to the manna, like, you know, it's like in Exodus, they got tired of the manna every day and forgot how miraculous that was, that manna was happening. And when I think maybe this is even, do you think maybe this is rooted in defining success in a worldly, like, so we want this, like, we want the big flash. We want the something that they're going to write an article about. We want the, right. We want the, we, you know, you grew by 60% and the mass baptism Sunday. And the, like, we see that because that's what gets celebrated. And we think, man, I want to be a part of that. But oftentimes what God's called us to is the kind of one day, really one day at a time, one moment at a time, and depending on him in those moments.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the unknown servants who do the multitude of mundane ministry activities that lead to significant things, right? I think some people would talk about who was the evangelist that shared the gospel with Billy Graham, you know, who was the person that discipled this particular leader, right? Well, we don't know in some cases we might, but their everyday ordinary faithfulness had an impact well beyond who they were and what they did, maybe even, you know, for their lifetime. So I think that's some of it. We tend to celebrate the big breakthroughs rather than, like you said, the mundane moments that are really, I think, for many of us, at least for me in these last several weeks and months, the small things that God does to affirm and confirm his direction and leadership in my life are worth much more than those big moments. On a whole, right? Give me 1,000 little mundane moments where I can feel the Lord's affirmation and confirmation, in one big moment where I'm not sure how it happened or who was involved.
Right. Right.
I would just say to the pastors out there that are slugging it out in the trenches, man, don't overlook the things that you can only explain that come from the hand of the Lord, and celebrate them, even if they're simple and small, right?
Yeah.
You know, and don't be discouraged by, because you're not having the giant breakthroughs. Be encouraged by the multitude of many small things.
It makes me think of what John Piper says, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of 3 of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, so just trust that God's doing something, and you get to be a part of it and see what he's doing. Bob, this is great. It's great to have you back on the boot camp. Can't wait to see you in purple and gold again. And at least we can both enjoy the continued demise of Alabama Crimson Tide football.
We're sorry, Josh and Wally, but we're not really sorry. And if you need a piece of the field goal, I will dive into the Cumberland and get it out for you.
Bob, how can the boot camp listeners be praying for you and your ministry and your family?
Man, thanks, Jimbo. Pray for us as we're away from our family, like our kids. So pray for us when we connect with them on Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're looking forward to that. And then for us here in our work in Nashville, man, just pray that we can begin to build a pipeline of leaders and churches who will respond to these many opportunities that we're seeing of churches that need to be replanted and renewed and partnered with. We've got 6 live consultations right now. A number of them are going to need partners. And so we desperately are needing people, not just a replanter, a renewal pastor, but we need people in churches that will come alongside these congregations, move into the area, take up residence, be neighborhood missionaries, and seek to advance the gospel. So we've got about 6 to 7 opportunities we're working with here and hope to see some cool things happen. So keep those in prayer. And if the Lord is calling you to Nashville, give me a shout.
Yeah, absolutely. You hear that, listeners. Opportunities for you in Nashville. Bob, will you pray for our listeners?
Thanks for your work in our lives. And I pray in the moments and days to come that the pastors who are just slugging away in the trenches, that you would give them the perspective of there are no small things that you are doing, and that the many the many multitudinous small things that seem to be mundane or out of the way or insignificant? Would you help them see how your hand is even involved in those? And would you help them celebrate those things and feel called and affirmed and empowered and equipped? And so we pray that wherever they are and wherever we find ourselves, that we could give you glory for all the work that you're doing. And we would take joy in the fact that you do not leave us alone and that you place us exactly where you want us to be so we can glorify you and seek you and find you. So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for coming on, Bob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.